All right, should we get to our sexy story this week?
Ladies, gentlemen, you cannot unsuck that dick.
It was hot.
It was really quite something.
Do you like when someone else makes me moan?
Do not show up looking like you slept in your clothes. In your car.
There is nothing sexier than getting railed by two dudes at the same time. I'll just say that. I don't know if you guys realize this yet or not, but I am a badass topping bitch.
Well, I'm sure you're going to tell us all about it.
I cannot wait to tell you guys all about it. First, we want to say thank you to Cassidy.com for sponsoring this episode of Front Porch Swingers. Cassidy is truly the place we meet people. I am back on the prowl for some hot single men in my area, and Cassidy's the perfect place to go because it takes all the guesswork out of it. I can see the guys that are certified on there, meaning that they've actually shown Cassidy that they are real guys. I don't have to worry about catfishes or bots or any of that stuff. I can just focus on finding people that make sense for me. And that's the reason we use Cassidy.
The most important thing.
If you guys want to meet legitimate, awesome lifestylers yourself, Cassidy is the place to go. And right now you can try it free for an entire month. All you have to do is go to frontporchswingers.com and click on the Cassidy banner at the bottom of our homepage. Again, that's frontporchswingers.com. Click on the Cassidy banner. Try it for yourself. We hope you love it as much as we do. And we hope you have a lot of sexy fun on there as well.
We do.
Hell yeah. I feel like it's been weeks since we last recorded. Well, it's been 11 days, which for a long, that's a long time for us.
Well, oddly enough, unlike normal, we're ahead of schedule because we had no fucking choice because our schedule for like 6 days was insane. So
yeah, we recorded way in advance because yeah. We, as we mentioned on the last episode, we had LA on a Thursday and then we had a Denver event on Saturday, but we were also hosting kind of a little mix and mingle thing on Friday in Denver.
Yes.
And then we came home and immediately started pet sitting.
Yes.
And then we had a Thursday night event here in Las Vegas. So we've had three events since the last time you guys heard from us, which is, it's been a lot. All of them were fucking awesome. Awesome.
Amazing. But we also have been home for 2 days. We slept in our own bed for two days in the last 11.
It's not great.
It's been crazy.
So I miss my bed.
We're getting there. We're closing in on it. But yeah, so
LA was great. It was a great event.
Amazing. Yeah, the party was awesome.
Good people came out for it. Denver, we were nervous for, if we're going to be 100% honest, because we have been hosting in Denver for 2 years now. We have used the same venue for the entirety of the 2 years.
Yeah.
This was the first Denver event that we did in a completely new venue with completely new venue owners in a brand new party. Part of the Denver area.
Yeah.
So we're like, we have no freaking idea what we're walking into here. Obviously, we saw the estate and it's beautiful. And we knew that it was going to be, you know, a higher end experience for our guests and all of that kind of stuff. But there's still all of these unknowns that you're like, this could be a fucking train wreck. And we're going to bring over 100 people to this venue. And yeah. We don't know exactly how it's going to go. So it ended up being fucking amazing.
It was. Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely one of the best Denver events we've hosted, and we've hosted some fucking kick-ass events in Denver.
I think it's one of the best events we've hosted, period.
Yeah, it was amazing. I cannot say enough good things about the folks that own the venue. What a fucking group of people. You always, you know, you're doing business with folks you have never done business with before, right? And it happens to us a lot. And a lot of times we only do business with people for the first time, particularly when it's someone or some people that we have a common, you know, kind of friend with, someone that can give a reference and, you know, those kinds of things. And so this was one of those situations. We were turned on to these cats by a mutual friend, and it worked out really, really well. And we got along great leading up to the event. I had many phone calls with them, and then we met them in person. It was a blast. You don't ever really know, right?
Until you're there you're neck deep
you're
in shit.
Middle. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're in the fucking heat of it. And, you know, doors open at 8, our cocktail hour between 8 and 10. So it's, you know, very much a get to know you kind of thing. Playrooms open at 10. I knew that we had made the right decision when the owners of the venue came out with their silk robes and fuzzy slippers. They were part of the fucking party.
Yes.
It was full on, and what a great fucking time.
Well, they're a hit too. They're very attractive men, and all the ladies are like, who is that?
Yeah, and the lady of the house, unfortunately, was not there. She's lovely. Also, I'm certain it would have been a big hit. But yeah, those guys were fucking great. What a great time. An amazing experience.
And the attendees, I mean, we always have good attendees in Denver, but this was honestly one of the most sophisticated, attractive groups of people I've ever experienced at any event ever.
That's all the guys kept saying was how fucking hot everybody was. They were just blown away by it. I cannot ever say enough good things about Denver in general. The scene there, the lifestyle is great. And we're, you know, right now in the midst of scheduling the next one, which is going to be in July. We'll come up with a date here within the next couple of days.
By the way, I just want to throw this out there. We sold out this event weeks in advance. And I think sometimes people think that we are just saying that. There's a lot of like groups out there that'll send you like, oh 10 tickets out. Left or going to sell out this weekend. And they're actually not. So people don't trust it anymore. And I think they thought we were bullshit when I was sending out emails like low ticket alert. Yeah. And then it's, you know, 5 days before the event and I am getting a barrage of emails. How can I get a ticket? We have to be at this event. We are listeners of the show. Thank you. I so appreciate that. Then you should know if you're a listener of the show that when we say something, we fucking mean it.
Yeah.
And this event sells out. We are so fortunate. I am not complaining that we had, you know, people reaching out after the tickets were sold out. And I was very, you know, I love when people want to be at our shit, obviously. But if I tell you it's going to sell out, it's going to fucking sell out. Denver sells out every single time.
Yeah. Listen, you don't have to believe anything that anybody tells you. You don't have to believe anything we tell you about an event selling out. I can guarantee you Denver sells out every fucking time.
Yeah. You wonder why? Because there's a bunch of hot freaks in that city.
There are. And there's a they want to get their fuck on. Yeah. But also we do limit the number of tickets for those events because we want them, you know, they're more curated. They're special to us. I'm not gonna
quantity over quality.
Yeah. It's also reputation over money. I don't know how many fucking times
or quality over quantity. I said it the wrong way, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but again, reputation over everything else is like I don't know how many times I have to tell people we are not gonna stuff folks in a venue and hope that it works out. We just don't do that.
We could have sold 200 tickets to this event.
Oh, easily.
And it would have been a train wreck. So we don't do that kind of stuff.
Couples and I don't even know how many singles on a wait list.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fucking people, man. You know, so
isn't it so cool though that people like wanted to come out that badly? I feel so honored.
It's great, and it's like I said, it's a good problem to have because you know the alternative would suck. So yeah. I'm happy to have it, but yeah, it's not a joke that you know Denver does sell out, and it's going to sell out again. There's not a question about it. That fucking party, all people asked me was when's the next one? When's the next one? When's the next one?
Yep.
Denver's a kick-ass town, man. If you don't party in Denver as a lifestyle. Or you've never been, you need to fucking go.
I did not play in Denver, but I did get to make out with my very sexy basketball player friends.
Also a hit at the party.
Oh, obviously. He was so popular. The ladies were like, so someone saw me making out with him and was like, so can you introduce me? And I was like, I absolutely can. But right. He is very much like me. He's very, very cerebrally driven. Yeah. And I mean, there were women after him all fucking night. And it was like the more the attention he got, the less that he was
he's
eager for that play, which I kind of respect about him. I mean, it just, you know, goes to show you. Not just because he's a single guy in the lifestyle doesn't mean he's just desperate to get his fucking dick wet.
He didn't play. And much like myself, he's kind of introverted. And the more attention he gets, the more kind of closed off he gets.
He's very selective, too. Yeah. He's very, I don't want to call it picky, particular.
It's a personality thing with him. There's certain energy he just can't deal with.
Yep.
You know, he's a quiet guy. He's not out there. He's not the life of the party. He was literally standing up against the wall in the corner.
Yeah.
Like that's what he was doing. Like he's such like not that, you know, just in your face kind of dude.
But I was impressed with myself because I would say 6 months ago, I never would have done what I did at this event. So he's standing by the bar in the corner just by himself.
Yeah.
And I walk up to him and I'm like, so are you just going to stand there all night or are you finally going to kiss me? And he's like, I can kiss you? And I was like, fuck yeah. So we just start making out. I never would have done that in the past. Yeah, I was impressed with myself.
Yeah, but you know him. There's a familiarity as a friend.
But I think it's almost worse that way because I kind of have I guess it is kind of like a sex crush. I don't know.
Yeah.
He makes me giggly and nervous. And like even making out with him, I felt hot and flushed. My cheeks were all red and my chest was red.
Well, you were in front of you were downstairs in the main room. It was probably 70 people down there. And you were
in front
of everybody. So yeah.
No, I wanted his lips on me, man. Yeah. He is probably one of the best kissers I've ever kissed.
So. Oh, I like him. He's a great dude. We had a great group of people. Single dudes. The couples were great. The single gals we had were amazing. Many of them came here from Vegas.
We had a group of probably a dozen of us that came from Vegas. So that was really cool, too. I think it's very cool that we've been able to cultivate that type of relationship with people here, that they're willing to travel with us and trust us with their vacations. Yeah. That's a big fucking deal.
Well, again, it was, you know, many of the people have been to our Denver events before. And even they were like, what's the new venue like? Is it going to be as good as the last one? And, you know, and a couple of the guys were a little out of sorts when they first got there because they're so accustomed to where we normally would hold Denver events. They're like, yeah, it took me about an hour to kind of start feeling really comfortable because the other place was like a second home to a lot of us.
Yeah.
You know, it was very kind of comfortable and just normal. Like you were just there
familial.
With friends.
Yeah.
So this was a unique situation. I dug the shit out of it. You know, and again, L.A. was kick-ass. The people in L.A., let me say this. there are a lot of places. We go to, you know, travel to a lot of different states, a lot of clubs. Everything's regional, right? There's different vibes regionally.
Oh, just, hugely, you know, different.
It's so different. Every place is so different.
Austin was so different from Houston, Denver, which Dallas was different from LA. From,
yeah, it's all, it's very, very different. You get to LA and it's like they're looking at their watch, waiting for the 10 o'clock to strike, you know, and it's like, oh, the rooms are open. Let's get it on. And man, it is nonstop, start to finish. They don't fuck around in L.A. They get down in L.A.
Yeah, it's not quite as personable as something like a Denver market.
No,
Denver's
not
very
at all.
Social.
Not at all.
So, I mean, it just depends on your vibe and what you're looking for. But I think that's one of the benefits to you and I traveling and doing so many different things in different places is I feel like we have been exposed to just about every type of lifestyler there is.
For sure.
And every type of energy that you could expect at a venue. And I feel like we learn something new every single time.
Yeah, you just have to know how to operate in those spaces, whether you're, you know, hosting or playing or whatever.
And then we come back and host in, you know, our literal second home, which is at Playhouse.
Yeah.
And we hosted just this past Thursday. So again, we had three events in 1 week.
Yeah.
And it was fucking exhausting. I remember by Thursday night at like 12:30, I was like, my brain feels like it is melted into my skull. I could not form words at the end of it, but worth it because Thursday night, I believe we host this. This is now year three that we've been hosting this particular event here in Las Vegas. And I feel like this was one of the most fun events that we've hosted here. Everyone had a blast.
Yep.
Everyone was fucking all night long. Every single surface in that place where you're allowed to play, there was play happening.
Yeah, it was 50-50, 50%, I would say, our regular guests and 50% brand new people, which really was unfortunate. There were so many folks that came in that wanted to talk to us and all that stuff. By midnight, I was just out of fucking words. I had no words left. I was so fucking tired.
I think people understood. We were still good hosts. Yeah. We were just tired.
No, it was great. We had a lot of friends there and it was a good time, but I found myself at one point standing at the bar talking to one of our local friends. And I was just staring into space. I was like, I'm so fucking tired. Like, I don't even know what to say right now.
We're definitely still recovering. Last night, we went out for some live music. We went and saw an 80s band.
Nothing warms my heart like 80s music.
I mean, I don't necessarily love the 80s music, but I love the atmosphere of it. I love how excited people are to like get on the dance floor and you're singing all the songs. And I mean, I knew most of the songs. It's just not my... It's not my cup of tea. If I'm going to choose music, it's not going to be fucking 80s. No. But it was really fun. But I remember looking at you at one point and we're both just like red-eyed, you know, exhausted, ready to go home and fucking crash. So I think today will be kind of a recovery day for us and a little bit of a chance for us to mentally recoup from what has been an absolutely fucking insane couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been nuts. And, you know, we really have, well, you've played. Obviously, we're going to talk about that. I got a little kind of play in. I got to play with Jade a little bit, but
Are you going to disclose some of that?
Yeah, because it was fun, man. It was like, you know, I got a chance to go see her. I went to her house and because I had to get ready with, because we're house sitting, we're dog sitting for my second best friend. And so we...
which is her dog.
Which is her dog. So I went over and kind of got things together. And she just kind of, we were sitting on the couch and for whatever reason, just decided to put her on my lap. And we were pretty much dry humping and I was biting on her nipples and no penetration, no oral, no nothing. And
how very high school of you.
Very backseat of the car, high school kind of shit. And it was fucking hot. I mean, just so hot. Like I've told you many times, you know, Jade has the ability to orgasm through nipple play and friction and all that kind of stuff. And there's nothing fucking hotter.
I am so jealous of that. I wish I could train myself to do that.
I'm telling you, it's so fucking hot. It was just fun. You know, it was just a good time. And of course, you were playing at our place. So it was a very kind of, you know, it was a unique way to spend the day. But I'm looking forward to getting back in it. I'm looking to get some fun on. Now that we are going to be recovered, hopefully here very soon, and we can start getting out there.
Well, I've been talking to actually three new guys. So here is my whole thing. I want to find a regular play partner. That is the new goal. I am back on the hunt for that. I'm very dedicated to that right now. I'm also being very mindful about the things that I really want and that are important to me because I feel like in the past it's been about like, oh, that person is hot and maybe has a few similar interests to me.
Right.
So let's move forward with it versus who is actually going to fit into my life in a way that makes sense long term. And I have decided that for me is going to be a single man with no children. Yep. So that's kind of a big priority right now. And I've been back on the apps and it's actually been I don't even know, very refreshing. I was expecting it to be a train wreck. I was expecting to be totally fucking thrown off by this experience, especially being out of practice, because I haven't been on any of the sites this year, basically. It's been since before Christmas that I was really on them and searching for people. And it's been really good. The guys have been solid. I'm talking to three guys. One is closer to your age, and then the other two are in their 20s. All of them are single. None of them have children. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I think that there's some fun that can be had. I want to meet one of them this week. It sounds like I might meet the other one next week before we head off to Houston for yet another travel adventure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited.
A lot going on. I am, as we just talked about, we briefly mentioned it, I think, on the bonus episode. You know, I've got some interesting things happening with my regular play partners and their dynamics and different things that are going on with them. So I'm starting to consider what this is going to look like for me. How do I start to venture out again? What do I want? And what am I looking for?
What do you want?
I don't have a fucking clue. I don't know. I just don't know. You know,
at least you know that you don't know.
I don't know. It's been, you know, it's really been so long since I was interested or had the desire to even go down that road. I really don't have a fucking clue. I don't know. I think what's going to end up happening, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, there are going to be some moments where it's like, oh, that was a mistake. I don't need to do that again. Or, this doesn't feel quite right. I mean, it's going to be
that's
some
par
of that.
For the course, though. That's something you have to expect if you're going to start venturing out.
Since I had to fuck with any of that.
Yeah, I know. We always call you the lazy outfielder.
I am. I am the lazy outfielder. If that thing lands in my glove, I will catch it and I will happily throw it back. But I am
so
not
you might have to be the unlazy one for once.
Yeah, I might have to put my running shoes on. We'll have to see how this thing goes. I don't know.
Strap in.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Every time I think I know what I want, something will happen, like, digitally. I'm like, oh, no. This isn't going to work.
Yeah, resilience is key. We've talked about that.
I know. I don't have the patience. I know. I've got to figure it out.
You have no patience and no tolerance for bullshit, which zero. I love about you. I think that that's zero. Such a good quality to have in pretty much every other area of your life
except
other than
one.
The lifestyle.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, you've got to. And you really do, I think, as I'm, you know, obviously, we've been going through all of the various forms of ethical non-monogamy over the years. I really, unfortunately for me, because I'm a creature of habit, I really do think that you have to constantly be prepared for like the mental gymnastics of fucking with all of this, because things change all the time.
Yeah.
You know, situations change all the time. Desires change. And like,
well, I think that's why you can't take it too seriously.
That's
I think
problem.
That's been your and my biggest downfall of all of this is, you know, for us, it's like, this is an important part of who we are. We are not just people who swing. We are lifestylers.
No, I don't call us swingers at all at this point. I think
right, but we're not even just people that fuck other people.
No.
We are lifestylers.
No.
We are non-monogamous people by nature. And I think part of that is that you and I take it really seriously and sometimes to our detriment.
Well, that was the conversation we just had, right? What's right? What's wrong? I don't know. Is there a right and a wrong? No. As long as you're doing it ethically, I don't think there's a right and a wrong. But what makes the most sense at this point, you know?
Well, I think what makes the most sense is what's going to turn us both on.
Well, yes. For sure.
And it can't be any more serious than that.
No, but also it's like some of the things, for example, the thing that really gets your juices flowing is when I am playing like randomly with a new person, not randomly, but with a new person, spontaneity.
Hot new women. That's what turns me on.
Yeah. Using spontaneity. I couldn't spit the word out.
Yeah.
That's what really gets you going. And that's the one thing for me that I struggle with, because I have like 30 seconds and I know whether I want to see you naked or even continue talking to you. It takes me no time at all to determine whether or not we are on the same page with anything. And I rarely will go any further than that. So the two things I think that are our biggest downfalls, mine for sure, I won't speak for you, for me, I take that too seriously. I take the play portion and what it takes to get there too seriously. And I think I put way too much, or have been putting too much efficacy into friendships in this space.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking problem.
Yeah, I don't think there's any.
Neither of those things seem to be working.
Well, I also think that we need to do a better job of separating long-term friendships from play. That's
for sure.
Something you and I've really, really struggled with, because the two worlds do tend to get very warped.
Yeah.
And they just become too intertwined, and then it becomes dramatic. And we've experienced that a lot lately. And I think that's one of the other things is like, as I go into a new play dynamic, I do want it to be long term. And I do want to care about that person on some level. But does this need to be my new best friend? No.
No. See, that's all part of it. And we've done a really good job of cultivating friendships. I mean, you know, my relationship with Jade and our relationship with and yours with her, and our relationship with Natasha
and her husband.
You know, these are amazing relationships. And the thing that I have to keep reminding myself of, which really shouldn't be that fucking complicated, is that they're anomalies.
Right.
That's not the norm.
Right.
And because of how amazing those connections and relationships are, that's the barometer for me. Like, that's what I'm looking for. And when that doesn't happen, I'm like, fuck off, I'm out. Yeah, probably not.
That's
realistic.
That's a very unrealistic expectation that everyone's going to be as cool as those people.
Yeah. And that it's going to have that kind of longevity, right? 2 years. This month, I think, is 2 years for me and Jade. And it's like, I've had marriages not last 2 years, you know? So very literally. So, I mean,
when you put it like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? I mean, yeah. So to think that
That's going to be the norm?
It's not the norm.
It's silly. Yeah.
Well, it's for me the norm because I have been incredibly fortunate in these relationships.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, certainly that's how it's supposed to be.
But again, back to it. That doesn't necessarily turn me on.
No,
like, I'm so glad you have found that connection with her. And I'm so glad you guys have had 2 years of sex and fun and friendship.
Well, and what it's done for you and her friendship.
Oh, I absolutely adore her. But again, like, that's not, if you're going to ask me, you know, gun to my head, what's what I want for you out of the lifestyle, I wouldn't name that. I would be like, I want you to find someone brand new that I don't know, that I don't really care about, that I deem really fucking hot, and have this crazy experience and then tell me about it while we're fucking.
Right. Which is not the easy. Well, also though, also not, it's not that I shouldn't use the term fair, right? What the fuck is fair? It's not congruent in the space because I'm a male and, you know, I don't have the same opportunities that a single or solo playing female are going to have.
Are you kidding me? You turn down people literally weekly.
Yes, but there's a lot of reasons for that. My point is,
you have a lot of opportunities.
Maybe, but at the same time, do they all make sense?
Of course not.
No.
Of course not.
So, yeah, it's...
But you probably turn down experiences that do make sense because of your long-term play partners. Oh, my guess.
Yeah. Because, I use that as the barometer. Like, this is what my play is supposed to look like with my relationships are supposed to look like, and it's just not fucking realistic.
Well, you think you're going to meet someone new and have as hot a sex with them as you've been having with Jade for 2 years? That's unrealistic.
Well, and also the connection, right?
Of course.
It's like when I, in the absence of the amazing sex and the connection that you have with, you know, as a friend, right? It's like, well, I mean, what the fuck am I doing this for? And then it's like, well, dummy, you know, you're doing this because you enjoy it. First of all, I always enjoyed the spontaneity as a younger person for sure. And then it's like, and my partner really gets off on the idea that I am otherwise engaging with someone that she deems attractive and hot and sexy and doesn't know. Right. It's like, yeah, that's what's going on here.
That's
so
hot.
Yeah. So putting it all together, you know, I think of it that way, it makes sense. But in the moment it's like, man, this is a lot of fucking work. I don't need to do this.
Well, so like I've been saying, I've been having a lot of luck with the new single guys. So I've been, you know, texting with some of them. I have a worst of the week this week, but it is not from a single guy. It is from a couple. So I want to read mine and then you can go into yours.
Okay.
You're going to win. Who cares? Mine is still good. So.
I got this. So I'm just
every single week we hear from people that are like, sorry, Brenna, Brian wins every fucking week. Yeah, I know. Well, okay. I know that you have it worse than me, but mine are still pretty fucking bad.
That's because this week's is fucking horrendous. I didn't read yours, so I have no idea what you
Well, I read this to you the other day because
it's that one?
Yeah.
That's fucking horrible.
Okay. So I received this message from a couple that reached out to me on my solo lady profile.
Yeah.
Here's the scene. That's how they start this. You arrive at our suite on the strip in a short dresser skirt and your highest high heels. We will be waiting with champagne in hand. My lady will walk over to you naked and help you out of your dress, leaving you in just your heels. I will approach and start running my hands through that gorgeous red hair. If this sounds up your alley, get back to us. Don't wait too long as we have lots of options.
So let me jump in here real quick. So when you first read this to me, You're reading this to me and I'm listening to it. I'm going, okay, all right. So like immediately I'm thinking this is a couple coming to Vegas, want to get their fucking fantasy on. Okay.
They clearly have a very specific fantasy.
This is a very specific
thing.
Which is
fine. Yeah. I think it's about delivery. That's very kind of creepy to me.
If they had stopped prior to get back to us soon, we have lots of options, I would almost have given them a pass on, okay, you're coming to Vegas, you want that full sexy fantasy Vegas experience. Now, what you should really do is look into hiring a professional, because that's what they do.
I tell people this all the fucking time.
That's a real thing.
The number of couples that reach out to us and are like, hey, we are looking for this incredibly one specific thing while we're in Vegas. How can you help us find it? I always tell them the same thing. Book one of the fucking brothels that are an hour outside of Vegas. They will literally send a limo to your hotel.
Pick
they
you
will
up.
Pick you up and they will drive you there. And you can pay a professional legally to do any fucking fantasy that is, you know, in their wheelhouse.
Yeah, that they're comfortable with. This was actually a thing on Reddit the other day. I find, you know, lifestylers so fucking, they're such an interesting study.
You know, isn't that the truth?
Well, they're supposed to be so open to sex and it's a non-judgmental space and we're all, fuck out of here. Somebody asked almost a similar question about, well, my wife and I are looking for this. Should we go to a lifestyle club or hire a professional was the question. And the amount of venom that people spit out at them about the idea of hiring a professional, it's like, that's not lifestyle. That's not swinging. No shit. They asked a question.
No, it's not. But neither is sending me a script of all the things that you expect me to do as a woman. I am not an object. I am a human being. If your goal is to come to Vegas and potentially connect with someone, create some level of rapport, create some level of chemistry, and see where things go, that is lifestyle. If your goal is to come to Las Vegas, you have this incredibly specific script in your mind of what you want, hire a fucking pro, because that's not lifestyle. That is you using someone for your fucking enjoyment.
It's also not realistic.
Well,
right?
That's not realistic.
However, let me get back to what I was originally talking about. Then you get back to us soon. We have a lot of options.
If you have a lot of options,
you wouldn't be doing this.
Why the fuck are you even reaching out to me?
First of all, you're too fucking arrogant to have that many options. Okay. That's the biggest problem with what they sent you.
Yeah.
The first portion of it, the first two thirds of it, I'm like, all right, you're lame, but whatever.
It's
silly, and you just don't know any better, and that's fine.
Right.
But then you get back to me soon.
It was actually, don't wait too long, because we have a lot of options.
Get the fuck out of here. Okay.
Okay, let's hear your...
Now, I still get
emails.
Listen,
the smugness means that you must have something pretty fucking good here.
It's impressive. I still get emails about the soft wormhole. In fact, I got a text message.
I have nightmares about it.
I got a text message from our friend. I didn't show it to you. There's apparently a device with that name.
Soft wormhole or just wormhole?
Wormhole.
Oh, okay.
And he sent it to me. I was like, that's so disturbing.
Is it like a sex toy?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a picture of it too. It's like an alien-like fleshlight kind of concept.
Oh, okay.
It's,
weird.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate that it exists. Okay.
That guy needs to buy a wormhole then.
I am not going to read to you the name of the profile name this person used. It's just too specific and... You'll understand. I'll tell you what it is off air. It's so ridiculous. Okay, this is right out of the gate. No profile picture. No real bio to speak of. This is it. Suck out my energy is how it starts. Use my cock to slowly drain me as you feed on my life force. My addiction is so strong, too strong to resist, and is making me weaker with every second. I twitch and moan. I cannot control it. My hips thrust upward, and you love it. Listen, motherfucker, I don't know who you are. I don't know if this has ever fucking worked.
This is someone who's watched way too much fucking Star Trek or something.
Look,
like,
man,
that is some nerdy ass weird shit, man.
I don't get it. And you sent that out of the gate. No warm up, no reach around, no pat on the ass, nothing. You just sent that out.
Yeah, you say that every week, but I don't feel like that's acceptable no matter how long you've been talking to somebody.
Only if that line of conversation is already in place. If we are talking to each other that way, which if I am, you obviously call 911. Something's happened to me. But
you've been abducted by aliens.
Yeah, my brain is mush.
I think he has too, to be fair.
If that's where you start, I mean, the biggest picture of this is, how do I take you seriously?
Well, how would you even respond to that?
I didn't.
Well, I know you did it, but I'm saying, how would a normal human being respond to
that? I don't know. I screenshotted it and deleted it and blocked him. Like, what am I supposed to do with that, man? There's nothing I can do with that.
Suck my energy.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, you definitely win.
I mean, come come on, your life force? What the fuck? I don't even have words for that. I really don't. And it's, again, I have to believe that this kind of behavior is because he is so pent up, so closeted, been holding this back for so many fucking years. Like, it just has to come out, right? Yeah. It just has to manifest itself somehow. So it's in this word vomit that this happens. I don't know how many times this guy sent this fucking message. Probably 1,000. Has anyone responded to it? I imagine if they had, he wouldn't still be sending it out. I don't know. I don't know. It's too much for me.
It's pretty bad. Well, I have a single guy tip of the week this week that has to do with digital communication too, because I feel like we've been talking a lot about in person, how you can best present yourself as a single guy, because we've been hosting a lot of events. Now that I'm back on the sites and I'm talking to guys again, I see one kind of common thread as to the guys that are very, very successful in getting to that let's meet stage versus the guys that are not.
Right.
And I really don't think it has, I mean, obviously you're going to have the disrespectful assholes or the weirdos that send those weird messages right away. But I also think you have guys that start strong out of the gate. Their first messages are really respectful, you know, well-crafted, thoughtful. And then it's like they get to a point where they don't have anything left to say. So like, for example, I had this guy reach out to me. The first 5 or 6 messages we had back and forth were very friendly, very normal. I was digging him. I thought he was smart. I thought he was interesting. And then it got to the point where it was like he just kind of ran out of road.
Yeah.
And for example, you know, he's asking me about what I like to do. I tell him, I ask him what he likes to do. And then I started asking up some follow-up questions, and then he had no conversation beyond that. He couldn't keep the conversation going. So the biggest tip that I can provide to single men, if you want to be successful with that digital communication, if you want to move from the digital world into the real world, especially with hot wives, you have to keep the conversation moving until it doesn't need to move anymore. So in other words, ask follow-up questions. If I ask you, oh, that's interesting, your favorite restaurant's XYZ, I haven't been there, where is that? What type of cuisine do they have? Whatever the conversation is, keep it moving and keep asking questions.
I think it's important for these guys, especially in the beginning, to take an interest in the person in totality. Don't just focus on the obvious, right? I mean, if someone throws out a nugget of information, like you said, ask some questions, dig a little bit, appear to be interested. If nothing else, it's going to provide you, the guy, the opportunity to continue digitally conversing about something. I think what happens with these guys, I say it all the time, it's like they've run out, they've gotten to the end of the internet, like there's no more left. They shoot their load early on, figuring, well, by message 6, 7, or 8 or whatever, we're going to figure this thing out.
I'm in, we're good to go.
Yeah,
the other thing is, guys don't know how to pivot a conversation. Like, okay, we've had the friendly rapport. We both know why we're talking. We both know that eventually we want to get to the point where we're talking about sexual desires and boundaries and all of those things. If you no longer feel like we're on the road of talking about the friendly stuff, there's nothing wrong with saying something like, hey, I'd really like to shift the conversation a little bit if you're okay with that. You know, I'm interested in getting to know you better a little bit on a sexual level. Is it okay for us to have that conversation now? And leave the ball in their court. I understand guys don't want to be creepy, and I respect that. I think jumping too raunchy too fast, of course, is going to shoot you in the foot. But there's nothing wrong with letting people know that you still want to have those sexual conversations and make sure that you're on the same page. That's just as important to me as getting to know somebody on a non-sexual level.
Yeah.
And guys don't seem to know how to make that pivot. And I think that is the biggest downfall that they have in assuming you're not an asshole and you're not a total creep. That is their biggest downfall.
That's what you just said is exactly how you do it. You allow the other person to make that determination.
Yeah.
By feeding them, like, you know, just...
Or do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions about your sexual proclivities? Well, that's another way to go.
You're just throwing a little bit of a line out there saying, hey, I really enjoyed our communication. Obviously, I want to know more about you and I want this to be an amazing experience. Could you give me some idea of what intimacy might look like with you?
Yeah.
And that, you know, this way you're not just throwing out there, hey, I like X, Y, Z and sending a dick pic. It's like you're allowing them to really dictate that pace by initiating the conversation.
Well, you're actually having a conversation. Yeah. You're not just like, oh, my dick is throbbing and I just want to fuck. And
well, also, it could be a situation where the gal in this case reaches back out and says, I don't really know that I'm there yet necessarily, but I certainly will let you know when I am. And then, of course, the response shouldn't be, well, what the fuck ever, or, you know, fuck you, bitch, or that.
It shouldn't be fuck you, bitch, but it can also, if you are not compatible in that way, there are some guys that are out there that don't want to have a fucking pen pal. I'm one of those women. I want to have a few messages to develop rapport, and then I want to get talking about boundaries.
Well, that's just it.
Because I don't want to waste anyone's time. I want to understand if we're compatible, and if we're not, let's move on. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the guy saying, hey, do you mind if we talk a little bit about some of the sexual interests that you have? And the woman going, no, I'm not there yet. And him going, okay, that's totally fine. I am definitely looking for something a little bit more fast-paced, so I think I'm going to move on, but thank you very much for the conversation.
No, that's totally fine. Unless you are a guy who's willing to put in a little bit more of that time, then the answer is, great. When you are, I'd really be interested because obviously I want to make sure we're compatible.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Just use your fucking words.
Yeah.
You know, all too often, like you said, these guys come, they're fucking, you know, they're stallions out of the gate. They just, you know,
or they're terrified to be stallions out of the gate. And so they are just, they go in the friendly direction so much that it never gets to the sexual conversation. And they, or they just drop off the fucking face of the earth because, again, they don't have the communication skills to pivot and start talking about other things. This is all about a high level of communicative effort.
That's more, I think, 9 times out of 10 what happens, right? They get to a certain point. They know that that conversation's about to happen or we're on the cusp of that. They don't know how to get across the finish line because out of the gate, they're great.
Or they think that they're leaving it all in the woman's court, which I guess works for some people. It doesn't work for me personally, much like I talked about last week. I want a guy who can take charge. I want the guy to be like, hey, let's talk about this now. Can we move on to this subject? That turns me on. And I do believe that the vast majority of women fall into that same category.
Yeah. And also, I think a lot of times a single guy is going to be apprehensive, if he's smart anyway, initially to say anything vulgar or make any of those comments. And a lot of times we'll allow the woman, the hot wife, to make that initial contact. And when they don't, over whatever the guy deems to be a fair amount of time, they assume that they're really not interested. And then they just drop off.
Okay, bye. Yeah, see you later.
And instead, what you should say is, hey, not really sure in which direction this is going. Love to take it to the next step. If you're interested, I'm open to it. Leave the door open. And then if you don't hear anything back, then obviously you know where you stand. Or if the response is, yeah, not really sure yet, you know where you stand.
Yep.
You don't need to be thirsty. You don't need to be super eager, but you also need to have a little bit of oomph.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, my advice there is, again, keep the conversation moving. If you are going to pivot into something sexual, you know, do it at in a time that feels appropriate and do it in a way that leaves the ball in their court so that you're not pressuring anyone or coming across as that creepy single guy.
No, always
and I think
be a
you'll
gentleman.
Have a lot more success.
Always be a gentleman and leave them an out. Make it comfortable.
Oh, 100%.
Make it comfortable. Yeah.
Well, I made my play partner feel very uncomfortable this week.
I'm sure you did.
In a very, very erotic way. I had a crazy DS session, and I am so excited to talk about some of the details of it because it made me feel like just a powerful, sexy bitch. So we're going to get to all of that very shortly. But first, we want to say thank you to the partners of the Front Porch Swingers podcast. This episode of Front Porch Swingers is brought to you by one of our absolute favorite products to use in the bedroom, something that we have been raving about, not only on the podcast, but even just personally to pretty much every single person we know.
Yeah.
And that is Shivers.
Love that Shivers. Listen, we literally just gave some to a friend the other night at one of our play parties. I had a meeting with someone that we do business with. I had given them some prior. The minute I walked in the door, it was shake my hand, hug me, and it was, that shit was amazing. So, listen, I tell this to everybody. Shivers is the real deal. Inside of 30 minutes, fellas, you are going to feel amazing. It's hypersensitivity. By the time you get to play, it truly is next level kind of stuff.
Well, you're saying fellas because obviously there is a male version and a female version. For the women, it takes about 45 minutes to kick in. But when you do start feeling it, yes, it's just this amazing sensation. It's basically like someone just running their nails up and down your back. You
it's
know, that shivery feeling you get when they're doing that, or when somebody's playing with your hair. I love when somebody's like running their fingers through my
scalp
hair.
Massage,
it's the same type of sensation that you get with Shivers. And then when you go to play, when you and I are playing with it, it just takes everything to this next level. Yeah. You guys, if you're just listening to the show and you're not watching right now, you can't see that I'm beaming, but I am. I love this product.
Yeah.
I rave about it all the time because it's deserving of it. And I truly think that you guys should give it a try. And all you have to do right now is go to shivers.store. It's not shivers.com, shivers.store. And if you use our promo code FPS at checkout, you're going to get 10% off of your order. Go check this out. And also let us know what you think about it. We've received so much positive feedback via social media and email about this product, not a single person has said that they don't like it.
No, this is one of those products that legitimately everyone who we know has tried it falls in love with it. It's so fucking cool. It literally is like, it's the next evolution of intimacy. It's just so fucking cool. You got to try it.
Again, shivers.store. Use code FPS at checkout for 10% off of your Shivers order today. This episode of Front Porch Swingers is brought to you by Shameless Care. There are many reasons that we love Shameless Care, but one of them is I hate going to the doctor. And you know this, I avoid it at all costs. It doesn't matter how sick I've been in the past. I have to be basically on death's door to be willing to go to the doctor. And there's a lot of reasons for that. The biggest one to me is that it feels very intrusive.
Yeah, it's anxiety ridden and invasive.
So time consuming. Like, nobody has time to sit in a doctor's office, wait for the doctor, go in, then you sit in the doctor's office and wait for them again, and then you have to wait to be able to pick up a prescription if they give you one, to go to the pharmacy. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. Shameless Care wants to take all of that out of it for us lifestylers when it comes to your sexual health. For example, if you need to be tested for an STI, which everyone should be tested regularly and you should be getting swabs as well, Shameless Care has you covered. Their at-home STI kits include swabs, throat swabs, for example, that help you have peace of mind going into new play sessions and be able to share those results with the people that need them from you. And again, no doctor's office visits. You do everything at home. You just send it to them and they provide your results in just a few short days. They also have things like ED medication that can be shipped discreetly and directly to your door, once again with no doctor's office visits. If you want to try Shameless Care for yourself, you can do so at a discount. All you have to do is go to shamelesscare.com and use our promo code FPS at checkout. When you do that, you can get $30 off any of their services. Again, that's shamelesscare.com. Use code FPS at checkout for $30 off your first Shameless Care service. It is hard to believe, but we are very, very quickly approaching our next Texas event. This time we are heading to Colette, Houston for the Real Hot Wives of Houston. Our guest list is shaping up. It is going to be a sexy, fun crowd of people. Yeah, and we are not going to want to miss
this if you're in the Houston area, April 5th, Friday, April 5th. I cannot tell you how sexy this crowd already is. I'm so fucking excited about getting to Houston.
Yeah, and Colette Houston, we've been there a couple of times now. Absolutely love that venue. There are so many different indulgence spaces. There's a huge dance floor where you can mix and mingle with people. And I just cannot wait to bring a Hot Wife event to this venue. I think it's the perfect match for us. And again, you can find all of the information by heading over to members.frontporchswingers.com. We hope to see you on Friday, April 5th for the Real Hot Wives of Houston. So this play session that I'm going to be talking about today is unique for a lot of different reasons. I think the biggest one for me is I really do feel like I'm kind of coming into my own in terms of topping. I have not had a ton of experience recently with this. This is something, you know, my BDSM past is varied and vast. Before I met you, I was very involved in that community. I was constantly...
That's how we met.
Well, yeah, exactly. But even before you, I was going to munches. I was being mentored by a BDSM couple. I had friends in that community. And I really think that that is where I found my sexual voice and my sexual empowerment. And then obviously that's how you and I met. I was looking for a dom to my sub. And that's not how we ended up going down this road. It became a very different thing for us. And then we kind of sprinkled in some kink play here and there since then. But it's been a long time since I felt like I'm finding my footing in that world again. And this play session that I'm going to talk about today with my friend Yusuf was really my reinsurgence into that world and understanding kind of where I fit and the interest that I have. And also understanding like the boundaries that I need to place in that environment, because I am not a sadist. I am very sensual when it comes to my domination. I am not, now, I love administering some pain, which we'll talk about. Some of that was very sexy. But I'm much more about, like, I want to be in control. I don't necessarily want to hurt people just for the sake of hurting people.
No, of course.
And I've had people in the past that are like, can you just beat the fucking shit out of me? And it's like, I can't. I don't have that in me.
No, you're not wired that way.
I think I'm much more of a mental dom, if that makes any sense. I'm very good with, like, my words and maybe a certain level of, like, degradation and humiliation, which became very erotic in this particular play session. So that'll kind of unfold as I'm telling this story. But yeah, I think I'm starting to really understand where I fit into this world. And that's exciting for me, too. And this is really interesting. So this play session happened on Wednesday. We have been kind of pet sitting and busy since then. But there have been little pockets of time where I've had some alone time to myself. Like I've been in the bathtub or, you know, I brought my wand to the house and I've used that a couple of times when you're out running errands and things like that. And every single time since Wednesday that I have played with myself, I have thought about me as the dom in situations and how sexy that is.
Well, it's interesting because after you had this session with Yusuf, and of course you and I get back together, the variance in energies is very obvious.
How right? so?
Well, because clearly you were more of like the dominant figure in this space. And while you're always submissive to me and it's always that kind of primal play that we have, you are clearly really just prepared to give yourself up entirely. Like you were, there was not a... there wasn't.
I didn't have anything left in me. Yeah.
Yeah. There was not an ounce of you that had any sort of dominance left. You know. So it was. It's really a unique thing, and you can. I can feel it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of the excitement for Yusuf too. Is he's told me like all of his other play partners are very submissive.
Right.
And so the fact that he gets to, because he's a switch, he gets to experience being the submissive with me, and then going back to his other partners and dominating them. There is so much variety in that, and that alone can be very sexy. And I think that's the same way with us. It's like, okay, I get to top this guy and I get to be in charge and then just completely relinquish that control to you afterwards. And somehow that feels even more connecting with you.
Yeah.
Because it's special. It feels more special, I guess.
Well, yeah, because under normal circumstances, there's that submission anyway, right? But this is different. It's like you're submissive not only by design, but by... It's requisite. It's needed now because you've exhausted what little bit of dominant energy you possess anyway.
Yeah.
That's gone, right?
So here's, I'll set the scene for you guys. I also wanted to look like a fucking badass. So I have this new mesh sparkly dress thing. It's completely see-through and I wore a black lace teddy under it. So it was black on black and it felt very kind of Dom-esque, if you will. And I felt so sexy in it. I had my hair done. I had my makeup done. Yusuf comes over. I really liked the idea that the last time that he and I played, I just told him to walk in and like get naked and get into the bedroom.
Right.
And that was not, it didn't really work. So I think he and I need a mental connection to be able to really move in that direction. So again, you're always learning. It's always a moving target. You always have to figure things out. So this time I poured him a drink. We sat on the couch together. We were being very kind of flirtatious and silly. There was no dom sub energy. I wasn't like bossing him around in those moments. It was just very friendly. And we kind of caught up and we talked a little bit about what might happen that night. And I made it clear that I wanted to do like a full scene. And before he even showed up, I set out a flogger and a crop and some handcuffs and the vampire gloves. I had kind of my whole treasure trove laid out on the bed ready for him to go. And that alone turned me on, by the way. When I was all setting it out and preparing, I'm like, oh, this is so sexy.
It's like, you know, it's a warm-up. It's the prequel. It's
like I'm teasing myself.
Yeah, it's a little bit of, you know, foreplay for yourself.
So anyway, we sit, we have a drink, and then I'm like, are you ready for me? And he says, yes. So we go into the bedroom, and I immediately, the second that we got into that fucking bedroom, switched into fucking dom mode. I in a very kind of hushed tone, but very intentional tone, I said, get your clothes off and get on the bed. And he's like, okay. So he gets naked. By the way, this man has the nicest man ass I've ever seen on anyone except you. You and he both have these like these nice muscular bubble booties, and I fucking love it. It's the sexiest booty on a man.
I'm not sure I qualify, but okay.
You do. So anyway, he gets onto the bed and first he's like laying face up and I was like, oh no, you need to turn over. And he says, okay. So I then get on the bed with him. And at first I'm just kind of like running my hands up and down his back. His skin is so soft and I'm rubbing kind of onto his shoulders and then onto his ass cheeks a little bit and then onto his thighs. And then I kind of start digging nails in on his back and on his ass a little bit. And he's kind of wriggling a little bit so I can tell he's enjoying it.
Sure.
And then I put on one of the vampire gloves and I start running that all the way from his neck all the way down his spine onto his ass cheeks.
He's familiar with them?
Yeah, I've used them on him once before.
Okay.
And I'm running them onto his thighs and onto his calves and then I start squeezing. So I'm like running them down and then I stop and I squeeze hard in different spots. And again, he's kind of like moaning. I keep asking him, trying to get, you know, the verbal okay that everything's going well, and he says that it feels fucking amazing. So that lasted for quite a while. Again, this very kind of sensual thing. Yes, there is some pain involved, but it's that pain-pleasure mixture and I'm just kind of, I'm lulling him into a sense of comfort in some way. Which sounds weird as I'm talking about. If you guys have never listened to our show before, the vampire gloves have all these little pokies on the fingers.
Yeah,
so when I'm squeezing down on it, those pokies are going into his leg or into his ass cheek, and they can feel very good, but they can also be quite painful.
Yeah, you can use them in any number of ways, and you must know what you're doing if you're going to use them.
So then I kind of start figure eighting the vampire gloves on his back at the same time that I'm smacking his ass cheeks with the hand that doesn't have the vampire glove on it, and his ass is getting all red and hot. And then I'm like, are you ready for more? And he says, yes. So then I break out the crop and I start using the crop. I'm kind of just dancing it around his skin, much like I did with the vampire gloves, down onto his ass cheeks, down onto his thighs, down onto his calves. And then I start swatting him with the crop in all different places, in all different ways. And he just starts wriggling all over the place. And then we start talking dirty to each other while this whole thing is going on. Like, I'm calling him my little slut and telling him he better take it for me. And he has to earn this pussy tonight. And if he doesn't take my pain, then he doesn't get the pleasure afterwards.
Very naughty.
And he's like, yes, ma'am, I understand. And I'm like, good, good boy.
No wonder you had nothing left when I got home.
It was fucking naughty. So I crop him for quite a while. And then I'm like, are you ready to take more? Are you going to earn this pussy? And he's like, yes, I am. And I was like, perfect. So I grab the flogger. I get up. So our bed is on kind of a platform, not kind of a platform. It is a platform. And I can, my feet are small, so I can stand on the platform and still have access to the bed, if that makes sense. So I'm up a little bit higher. And it's a really good way for me to use the flogger because I can really swing it when I'm in that position. So again, I start very lightly kind of dancing it all over him. I'm standing on the platform and then I just start wailing on his upper back and then onto his ass cheeks and then onto his thighs. And the whole time I'm asking him how it feels and he's like, it hurts, but it feels so good. And I was like, that's a perfect answer. That's a good boy.
Too much.
So very sexy. And there was one moment that he kind of like peeked his head around to look at me. And the look on his face was so sexy. I could tell he was.
Did you allow him to do that? Was he supposed to be looking at you?
Well, I didn't tell him he couldn't. So, okay. But I know that look because, again, I've bottomed many times. I love to be flogged. I love to be cropped. And I can tell the look in somebody else's eyes when they're getting into that like cloudy, you know, where they're almost like on a different planet. Yeah. Like, again, the world could be burning down around you and you just wouldn't care because all you're thinking about is the sensations in that moment and the chemicals going through your brain. And
yeah,
it's really hard to describe if you've never bottomed, but it really is. It's almost like being on a drug. That's the best way that I can describe
moving it. Moving into that subspace, it creates a euphoric kind of thing. It is cloudy.
Yeah. I mean, I've never used like hard drugs, but I would assume like that floaty feeling. I don't fucking know. Like what's a MDMA or something?
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, so it's great. It's a great feeling. And I could tell he was getting there. He had the cloudy look in his eyes and I kept checking in with him. I'm all about safety in these environments. So, you know, obviously beforehand we talked about safe words and everything. And in between I'm checking in, how's this feeling? Are you still doing okay? But I'm doing it with this tone in my voice of like still in control. Sure. I still want him to know, even though you're checking in.
But you're telling. Kind of, sort of.
I'm not even telling. It's more so like you need to know that I am checking in on you, but right. I am still 1,000% in control in this situation,
sure.
Which of course I'm not. That's an illusion. It's a fantasy, illusion, right?
That the top is in control.
But it's still very sexy. So anyway, I'm like, I want you to, you know, face back down. So he puts his head down back in the pillow. And so I keep flogging him. And I mean, this lasted for a good 15, 20 minutes. And at this point, his entire backside is just red all over. Everything is glowing. I kind of was rubbing my hands on his ass. It's so warm to the touch. And that was really sexy. Again, back to this empowerment thing. I'm like, I fucking did that. That was me that did that. And also the trust that was there, that's very connecting to me. The whole thing was just, I loved it. So anyway, I stop and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to provide you with a little bit of a reward. And he says, okay. So I pull his cock out from under him. Again, he's on his stomach. So I pull his cock and his balls out from under him. And I kind of just very lightly start touching on them. Then I went and grabbed a little bit of coconut oil and I was just rubbing them all over his balls, a little bit onto his ass too, just to kind of soothe it a little bit. And he is rock fucking hard.
Yeah, that feels really good from that position. So.
Oh my God. So then I start eating his ass.
That's very naughty.
I'm playing with his balls. I'm kind of stroking on his cock and I lean down and I start just licking all over his asshole.
Very, very naughty.
And he's moaning like crazy and he's like, thank you, ma'am. That feels so good. And I'm like, oh, you like that? And he's like, yes. And I was like, well, you are a good boy for me, so I want to reward you.
That's the least you could do.
So anyway, the whole thing, so fucking sexy. So then, of course, I'm like, okay, it's time for you to roll over. So he does. And I'm like, okay, it's my turn for some pleasure. And so I tell him to get in between my legs and I tell him that he needs to eat me out. And if he doesn't eat me out well enough, then he doesn't get to fuck me. So this man goes to fucking town on this pussy.
Yeah, he's eating, it's like his last meal.
It was so fucking sexy. I mean, there was one moment he kind of looks up at me, kind of sits up and just juices all over his fucking face, dripping onto his neck. I was dripping wet at this point. I mean, the whole thing is just so fucking sexy. I still have like the dress thing on. I've just kind of like hiked it up. And so I come pretty quickly. I have both hands on his head. I'm basically holding his head in between my legs while I'm having this crazy fucking orgasm. And then I'm like, okay, it's time for you to fuck me. So I sit up, I take off the dress, I undo my teddy so it's open at the bottom. I whip my tits out. He gets a condom. He gets on top of me. He enters me and he starts going fast, like fucking, like hard. I mean, because again, this is
super worked up at this point.
So worked up. There's like a frenzy to him. So I'm like, okay, this is yet another opportunity for me to be the dom in this situation and control it. I was like, absolutely not. Slow way down. You will go at my speed.
Yeah. I'm sure he was ready to go.
He's like, okay. So he's pumping in and he's like, is that good? And I was like, slower. And he's like, okay. And the look on his face is just like anguish, because the other times that we have fucked, it is rough. It is deep. Yeah. It is fast. So, I mean, I know that that's kind of his MO. So the fact that
he was expecting most likely.
Absolutely. The fact that I was so in control in that situation and was like way slowing the pace down was driving him fucking crazy. It was just, yeah, I mean, he's inside of me, but it's still this gigantic tease. So anyway, I start running my nails up and down his back, onto his ass cheeks, up his legs. And I'm talking dirty to him and, you know, telling him that he's been a good slut for me, but we're not done yet. He has, you know, more to prove to me tonight. And he just like is beaming down at me. Then I tell him to kiss me. We start making out. I'm tasting myself all over him. And so he fucks me like that for a little bit. And then I'm like, okay, pick up the pace, but just a little bit. So he does. And I have this crazy fucking orgasm. I shoot his cock right out of me when I have it. And then I was like, okay, I'm ready to ride you. So I get on top of him, and I know from the last time that Yusuf and I played together, he loves nipple play. That is a huge thing for him. His nipples are very sensitive. He really enjoys them being played with. So I get on top, I'm riding him, and I start twisting his nipples while I'm riding him. And well, at first, I just had my hands like pressed into his chest,
right.
And even that was making him moan. And then I would stop, I'd keep one hand pressed into his chest, the other one I'd like start tweaking on his nipple, pulling it just a little bit. Then I started playing with the other nipple, and I bent down and started biting the other nipple. And it is driving him fucking insane. I thought he was going to come right then and there, but I told him, I was like, you better not fucking come unless you ask for my permission, or I'm not going to fuck you again in the future.
Very naughty and rude of you.
No, it's not. I'm in control. It'd be rude if he came.
Well, I think you are anyway.
Total bitch in this situation. Yeah, I loved it. Like a badass bitch. Anyway, so I lean down. I start making out with him. I kind of bit on his lip a little bit. Then I start biting on his neck. Then I started choking him very lightly while I'm playing with his nipple again. I had another crazy orgasm. And then I told him I wanted him to fuck me from behind. So this is where I kind of love that topping from the bottom thing, if that makes any sense, or maybe bottoming from the top, whatever it is. I want some pain in this particular situation. But again, because I'm in control, I'm not just going to let him do whatever the fuck he wants to me. So for example, he starts spanking me on one ass when he's fucking me from behind. I was like, no, 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 no. You will not spank me unless I tell you to spank me.
Right.
And he was like, oh, okay. So then I let him fuck me for a couple of minutes. And then I was like, okay, now I want you to spank me once hard on each ass cheek. So again, I'm in control, but I'm getting what I want in that situation. I want my ass to be spanked.
Yeah, you're getting the best of both worlds. You are, you know, quasi in control, but also getting that sensation that you're after.
Oh, it was so fucking hot. So that goes on for quite a while. And then I was like, are you going to come for me? And he's like, I'm not quite ready yet. He's like, I would love a little more pain if you're willing to administer it for me. And I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. So I tell him to pull out of me and get on his back. And I start biting and pinching on his nipples again, biting on his neck a little bit. And then I start scratching down his thighs while I'm sucking his cock. And he is so hard. He's literally like, his cock is not coming, but it's pulsating. He likes that so fucking much. And then I don't even know what came over me. I just became like a fucking wild animal. I became so primal in that moment. All of this leading up had been very controlled, very much me, you know, thinking through everything and being strategic and trying to think about how each sensation was going to impact him. And that all went out the fucking window. I don't know what came over me. He kept saying like, what is this look on your face? It's so sexy. I was like growling at him at one point. I'm slapping his fucking pecs. I'm slapping slapping his face. I'm scratching him. I'm like, you know, running my hands up and down his shaft, but I'm like squeezing on his balls and I'm telling him he better come for me. He's a dirty little slut. And I was like, are you going to come? And he's like, yes. And I said, I want you to come all over my tits. And he's like, okay. So I wrap my tits around his cock and I'm still stroking it. And he comes all over my chest, everywhere, up my neck, onto my chest, onto my tits. It's dripping down into my lingerie. It is fucking everywhere. It was the biggest cum shot I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
Well, obviously, I mean, this makes perfect sense as to why when by the time I had gotten home, you were like spent, to say the least. Like you're, you know, as normally, you know, submissive as you are, you were just like, it was far beyond what you normally kind of, you know, exhibit.
Well,
you know?
So here's what's so funny. So I go into the bathroom, I clean myself up. He goes into the bathroom, he throws away the condoms, he comes back. We're just laying in the bed together for a minute. And then I get up and get us some water and we sit in the living room and talk for a few more minutes. And it was amazing to me how quickly I went from like primal dom bitch to like submissive, quiet Brenna again. And just, yeah. You know, it's so funny how that shift happened so quickly. Like, I remember us sitting in the living room and I didn't have an ounce of dom energy left in me. It was just, it was all fucking gone. My head, there's not a thought going on in my head. He was talking to me, and I hope this doesn't sound rude. He's probably going to listen. I don't remember what he even fucking said to me after that because it was like,
he probably doesn't either.
Every ounce of mental fortitude that I had been completely spent by that point.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, that kind of expression. It'll take everything out of you. It's all the glycogen and, you know, you use up all your endorphins. I mean, you're just wiped out. You got nothing left.
So we hug, he leaves. I text you to say that he's left. You come back and you were like still in the middle of a work day. I mean,
I was on a call when you texted me.
It was like the longest work day ever for you, which I feel kind of bad about. Like you went and spent some time with Jay, but then you took phone calls after that. You walk in the door and you're still in work mode. And I'm like, okay, that's actually perfect because I need like an hour of decompression. I need an hour of like not having hands on me or me having my hands on anyone else or talking to anyone.
Yeah.
So I went into the bathtub and I put on, you know, got a very, very hot bath going, had a candle going, completely just, you know, got rid of all the energy left in me. And then once you finished your work day, you went into the bedroom, turned on our sex light. I go in, you and I start playing. And much like you said, I could not have been any more submissive in that moment.
No, you had there was no masculine, no dominant energy at all. You just had none. You are typically submissive anyway when you and I play, but this was like,
I feel like you and I have kind of experimented with me being a little bit more in control, not necessarily dominating you, but definitely like, okay, now this is what we're going to do type of an energy.
For sure.
I didn't have any of that in me that night. It was like, I truly did not have any decision-making power left in me.
No.
And I loved that you could just take that control. And I felt like our reconnection that night, I mean, it was very rough. It's always rough when we play, but I also felt like it was one of the more connecting moments we've had in a long time.
Yeah. I also obviously had no idea what had just happened other than what I knew instinctively, whatever happened, there was some level of you having taken control because you had, there was just nothing there. There was no dominance in you whatsoever.
Well, and we didn't really talk about like the BDSM part of it when you and I were reconnecting. Like, I'm talking about him fucking me and how nice his cock is and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't go into any of the other details of it. Not because I didn't think you would enjoy it, but just because that's not like the most important part of our reconnection, I guess, if that makes sense. So I kind of liked that too. It's almost like he and I had this private little naughty, kinky thing. And then I got to disclose to you what you're really into and what I knew that you would be turned on by while still kind of maintaining. And it sounds weird because I'm now talking about it on a podcast where a bunch of fucking people are going to listen to it. But it's almost like I got that privacy with him, if that makes any level of sense.
In that moment, yeah, for sure. Fortunately, you did take, you know, you got the bathtub, you know, did the bath bomb thing and relaxed a little bit because I had like 16 hours of fucking shit going on all day, minus my time, the short period of time I spent with Jade. So I had just gotten off that last call sitting in the car talking to these guys. And so when I came into the house, I was like, there was stuff I needed to go over with you. I'm like, I got to write this shit down because otherwise I'm going to forget it and we got to go over this. So, but you know, you were just so, you know, you were lightheaded. You were not all there. There was just no point in having this conversation.
I felt high and I had absolutely zero marijuana.
Yeah. And so, I was like, well, let her, you know, go take a bath, do your thing. I'll get undressed, clean myself up, and then, you know, get in bed. We could deal with this later or tomorrow, which is essentially what we did, because by the time you and I were done playing, you know, I was spent from the whole fucking day.
Well, it was
you
also
were
like
done.
10 p.m. I'd had now yeah. like 4 hours of straight sex. I mean, it yeah. was a wild fucking day, man.
Yeah, it was over.
But it was a fabulous experience. I hope it was for him, too. He provided me with a lot of good feedback on it. I think the really exciting part about being with somebody kinky, especially with a switch, is that it like the only real limitations we have are our hard boundaries and our creativity.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the sky is the fucking
yeah,
limit.
You're limited only by your imagination.
There are so many different things that we could explore together. There are so many ideas I have for things. There are so many different scenes that have now kind of spurred fantasies in me since that time that he and I had together on Wednesday. So it's just a really exciting time, and I see a lot of very cool things potentially coming out of this.
No,
now what I will say is he does not have enough availability, but that's, other than no, that, it's been great.
That's
so.
The selfish Brenna coming out. You need that more time. You need
I'm a spoiled
time.
Brat. I'm a very, yeah. very spoiled woman, and I like what I like, and I like it when I like it.
Yes. No, no question. Truer words have never been spoken.
I'm sure you didn't know that about me. So anyway, we are obviously going to be providing some behind the scenes of what's going on in our lives with our Patreon members. They are always the first ones to hear about new stuff that we have going on. We have some really big, exciting projects in the works.
So much shit going on.
And our Patreon members are obviously going to be the first ones to hear about it. They also hear about just more intimate things about our lives that you're probably never going to hear on the regular podcast episodes. So if you would like some of that information, as well as our Sex on Your Term series, which I think we're going to do one probably this week.
This week, yep. And don't be that guy also.
So that's all going to be available at patreon.com/frontporchswingers. You can find my naughty stuff at onlyfans.com/frontporchswingers. If you would like to join us for an upcoming event, whether it is Colette Houston, one of our Las Vegas events, one of our LA events, or Pod Bash 2024.
Pod Bash, got to talk about Pod Bash. There are exactly two cabanas left for Sunday of Pod Bash. We are 75% sold out. You do not have time if you're thinking about signing up soon. There really isn't a lot of time left.
Yeah, this is going to be a big year to you guys. We have some things planned for this year that you've never seen at a previous Pod Bash. You probably have never seen at a lifestyle event, period.
Nope.
So this is really going to be an immersive weekend. It's going to be a great opportunity for you to make friends from literally across the country, potentially across the world. We do have some international folks coming this year.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to join us, again, you can find all of the information on upcoming events at members.frontporchswingers.com. We're going to have a lot more information on Exotica Chicago as we approach it, as well as Sexpo, which is a sex-positive convention happening here in Las Vegas for the first time ever.
Yep.
So stay tuned for all of that information. And as always, thank you guys very much for listening.
Thanks, everybody.